Where you hear a concert can turn it into an experience you'll always remember. Orchestra conductor Lee Mills joins us in a bit to recommend his favorite venues for enjoying classical music in Europe. And while making inroads on visiting the 1,000 places to see before you die had to take a pause during the pandemic, it gave Patricia Schultz time to consider the reasons we like to travel. She joins us today to look at how to keep the pre-trip excitement going strong when we actually get there. By the way, today we're celebrating program number 700 of Travel with Rick Steves. Let's start the hour with a look at the pleasures of Mexico City. New Yorker David Lida moved there more than 30 years ago and wouldn't dream of living anywhere else. Welcome back, David.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And having you on reminds me of the fun we had when we got together a few years ago and you introduced me to the wonders of Mexico City. And I came away from that wondering, why does everybody go to Mexico, but they only go to the coast and so few people recognize how exciting Mexico City is?
I actually have some thoughts about that. You know, in the 80s, there was a huge earthquake and a lot of bad news came out of Mexico. In the 90s, there was a crime problem, which is very much rectified now. And, you know, as someone who grew up in New York in the 1970s, I've thought, like, what does it take to change a reputation? Because, you know, New York had a terrible reputation in those days.
Right.
Well, to make a long story short, Rick, in 2015, the New York Times travel section put Mexico City as number one on the 52 places to visit that year. And after that, everybody started to publish positive articles about Mexico City.
Huh.
And it really is, I think, finally overcoming that bad reputation and being recognized for what it deserves.
And what you do as a New Yorker who's really adopted Mexico and now lived there for a couple decades, you actually lead people around on tours. And, you know, you do tours on murals, on markets, on street food, on cantinas, on offbeat experiences, and so on. Let's talk about your secrets tour to the historical center. This is the ground zero for tourists, and everybody sees the highlights. What are the two or three highlights they're going to see before they get into the secrets with you?
Well, just to let you know, like, if people have never been to Mexico City before, I always urge them to go to the Centro Histórico, which is the oldest part of the city. And you've got all seven centuries of the history of that city right in one neighborhood, starting with the Aztec temple, the Templo Mayor, up until Mexico City today. I like to show people some of the most famous highlights, like the main plaza, the Metropolitan Cathedral, the Diego Rivera murals. But I also like to take them off the beaten path. And there's a market called the Mercado Abelardo Rodriguez, and it has murals that were painted by Rivera's students in the 1930s. It's a very much, you know, working class market, but it's the kind of place that most tourists wouldn't find by themselves. Right around the corner from that market, there is a synagogue. You know, Mexico is 90-something percent Catholic, but there is a small Jewish population, and one of the oldest synagogues in the city has been restored. Now it's more of a cultural center. It's not a working synagogue, but it's in really good condition, and I tell them a little bit about the history of the Jews in Mexico.
You know, when you say seven centuries of history, there is an amazing amount of history. And we're sort of a little bit ethnocentric about that here in the United States. We think, you know, so-and-so was the first settlement or the first discoverer or something like that. But things were happening in Mexico a long time before things were happening here in the United States. And even, of course, before Europeans came, one of the most sophisticated cities in the entire world, you could say, was the Mexico City that Europeans, quote, discovered.
Well, the Spaniards, if you read the memoirs of Hernán Cortés or Bernal Díaz de Castillo, they were just thunderstruck by Mexico. It was a bigger city when it was an Aztec city. It was a bigger city than any city in Europe. There was a population of 200 to 250,000 people there, and it really worked very well.
They wrote it was like Venice with all its canals and this sort of thing. It's fascinating. Hey, David, when I was reading your website, you were talking about these secrets, and you're going to see the big famous bucket list things. But then you've got odd, just quirky sites, a museum of cakes. You've got the biggest bag of cheese doodles, all these kind of fun, quirky little insights.
Yeah.
What are a couple of the surprises you'd show us on your secrets tour?
Well, for example, like I'm going to tell you about the cheese doodle place. There's a place where people who sell bags of cheese doodles and popcorn, they buy them from a place that has them in bulk, and then they put them in little bags and sell them for 5 pesos on the street. But they're the biggest bags of popcorn and cheese doodles that I have ever seen in my life. I jokingly say if I ever wanted to commit suicide by eating cheese doodles, that's straight where I would go to.
Right.
It happens to be on a street where I take people to eat the best tacos and street food because, you know, they can go to the fanciest restaurants, and a lot of them do, but they also want that experience. And not all street food is created equal. And in a city as big and confusing as Mexico City, it's good to have someone who can lead you to the right places.
I love those old mechanical tortilla machines that you see on the street that cook them up. Are they still there?
Exactly. They're still, if you know where to go, places where they use this hand-cranked machinery to make and sell the tortillas.
Ugh.
And yeah, there's still plenty of them.
And there's where you'd like a guide. Hey, this is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with David Lida. He's lived in Mexico now since 1990 and uses it as an inspiration for his writing. David's book is called First Stop in the New World. You can learn more about David's work at his website. That's davidlida.com, spelled L-I-D-A. So David, when you take groups around, a lot of people are interested in the murals. One of the most memorable experiences I had was just seeing the Diego Rivera murals in the Palacio de Bellas Artes. What do you like to show, and what do you hope that people have as a takeaway when you give one of the mural tours?
Well, one of my favorite places is the Ministry of Public Education. That is basically where Diego Rivera learned to be a muralist. He had been living in Paris for 15 years. The Minister of Public Education convinced him to come back to Mexico and work on this mural project. His canvas was all the walls in a public building that takes up an entire square block. Mm. And you see his progress learning to be a muralist. In the first murals, there's very few figures in the panels and a lot of background because he was inspired by European murals, Italian murals. But by the time he gets like around the corner to the next patio, he becomes Diego Rivera, the Diego Rivera we know and love, where there's a lot of figures packed into each panel and very little background. And it's kind of amazing to see his progression from being a kind of imitation European painter to becoming the preeminent Mexican painter of his generation.
Ah, it's a highlight in Mexico City for sure. One thing that you stress in your writing is the cantina scene. You know, London has its pubs and Munich has its beer halls, Paris has its cafes. In Mexico City would be the cantina. What is the cantina scene, and how would a visitor best enjoy that?
Well, I think the main thing about the cantinas that's wonderful is I don't know any city in the world that is as generous to its drinkers as Mexico City. If you go to most cantinas in Mexico City, as long as you keep ordering drinks, they give you food for free. And some of them have really incredible home-style Mexican cooking, you know, as good as some of the restaurants. And if you know which ones to go to, you can get not only have a few drinks and enjoy the company of whoever you're with, but eat a wonderful meal without paying any extra.
Is that what's called botanas?
Absolutely. Those are the botanas.
Botanas. So that would be like in Italy, you have the aperitivo and you buy a spritz or a drink and you get a little buffet of finger food.
Right. But this is actually more substantial than what they give you in Italy or Spain. This is a full meal. And they'll keep it coming until you cry uncle. I mean, I'm sure that the role model for what they do in cantinas was Spain, because there's so much Spanish influence in Mexico.
David Lida is our guide to the pleasures of North America's oldest capital, Mexico City, right now on Travel with Rick Steves. You can find out about David's neighborhood tours and the books he's written about Mexican culture and how it sometimes clashes with the United States. It's on his website, davidlida.com. Hey, David, we just got a minute or so left. Talk about the sounds and the smells that you most enjoy when you're out just following your spirit around Mexico City. What are some of the moments that we'll gather?
Great question, Rick. So the smell of tortillas frying in deep fat, the sound of hand-cranked organs, which were brought over from Italy and Germany in the mid-19th century. They're still all over the city, and they're way out of tune. Also, the 19th century buildings, a lot of people don't realize, but in the 19th century, Mexico's great cultural influence, this was after the independence from Spain, was France. So there's these buildings that look like they were done by French architects. The ornamental architecture, if you look up, is just beautiful, because there's still a lot of 19th century buildings left over in the Centro Histórico.
You know, that's part of the mark of a good traveler, is taking a moment to listen and to smell and to observe the humanity on the streets, but also to look above at that commotion and see the architectural heritage that contains it all.
Yes.
David Lida, it's just so fun to talk to you, because I think Mexico City is one of the underrated destinations for travelers, especially when you think of how easy it is to get there from the United States. And that's what you talk about in your book, First Stop in the New World. David, if we could just kind of wrap it up, share one experience where the visitor could really appreciate and feel the soul and the humanity of the biggest city in North America.
Just looking at the overwhelming number of people surviving by selling things in the street. They give the city a vibrant street energy that, to me, makes Mexico City unique.
I love it. David Lida, thanks so much for joining us, and I'm going to hope to connect with you next time I'm south of the border.
Thanks for inviting me, Rick.
David Lida explores what kind of socialist Diego Rivera really was in an extra to today's interview. You can hear it from our website at ricksteves.com/radio. A young and on-the-rise orchestra conductor shares his favorite places to experience classical music in Europe in a few minutes. But first, author Patricia Schultz explores the reasons we travel and some insights on getting more out of your next trip. It's Travel with Rick Steves.